That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has. And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this dark morning. At least dark outside, but it's bright inside here. November 1st, 2014, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Glad you could get up and drive out and join us here. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And do we have John come on as well?
Yep.
All right.
I'm here.
Good morning, John. And we say good morning to you, the remnant, that have gotten up also this morning. Maybe you slept in on the East Coast. It's a little later out there, but we do welcome you this morning, and we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here also. Well, Kyle, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll get on with Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, sir. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in the blessed holy name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the Son who died on the cross for us to give us life eternally. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon us today. Watch over us, guide and protect us, not just us four, but your remnant out there, Lord. Maybe open wider our eyes, Lord, as we try to spread your gospel, spread your good news, Lord. Of course, with doing that, it's not good news for everybody, and that's part of spreading the gospel, Lord. We ask for you to be with us. Give us discernment on how to attack, how to defend, how to be a good soldier for you. Again, we ask for guidance and direction and for protection. We ask for you to help keep us from evil, Lord, and keep the evil ones from us and our families. We ask for you to be with us in every turn. We start another week tomorrow, Lord. We We ask for you to build us up, give us confidence, give us comfort, give us strength and encouragement, Lord, to fight another week, to fight the good fight of faith. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 And to get all the buttons pushed here, but we welcome you, again, the Remnant. And, guys, can you believe it's November 1st already? The time, well, the days, maybe they do get shorter. I know with the time change tonight, at least the daylight hours will sure get shorter. So remember to set your clocks back tonight to end daylight savings time. If not, then, well, it might be a little early for church tomorrow. Or late either one, whichever way that works out. But remember to do that. And John, I remember talking to you yesterday. You had a couple things you wanted to bring this morning. Do you want to start out with that or finish up with it?
Sure, we can. It was encouraging as you're reading all of these stories about these federal judges overturning the will of the people throughout the country, 32 states now adopting gay marriage as legal against the people's will. And I don't think a lot of people realize it, but basically there's three appellate court judges for every five states. And it only takes two of those to overturn what the will of the people are and the lower courts. But there was six judges there in North Carolina that resigned and said they couldn't go against their God. And I thought that was encouraging. One of them even quoting scripture, "What good is it for man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul?" I think that's Mark 16 or something. But I think we lift those men up right now in prayer. One of the comments that they made is they're not sure where God will direct their lives in the next for their next step. And I think we could lift them up and pray for them.
Remember
that. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we lift up these judges who are standing on the truth, Lord, those that will not bow their knee to Baal, John Callum Jr., Gilbert Breedlove, Bill Stevenson, Tommy Holland, Gail Myrick, and Jeff Powell. And Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct them, grant them wisdom and understanding, that you would open the doors that need to be opened, and that you would bless them abundantly for standing against these abominations that have come into the land. And Lord, I know there's other judges out there that are struggling with this same battle. Lord, I pray even now you would just convict them to turn from this wicked system. Lord, that you would give them comfort, knowing that nothing happens that you don't allow to happen. And that if they take a stand, and they stand strong for you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you will continue to provide for them. And Lord, let those judges know, too, those appellate court judges that are overturning the will of the people, that someday they will face the true Supreme Court justice, and they will be judged for the way that they judge on earth. Lord, we just pray that your will would be done regarding all of these abominations that are going on in the country and in the world. Pray for your people, the Remnant, Lord, a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around them. Pray that you remember grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jason, how are things going down at the print shop? How are things with Jason
well.
These days?
Going well.
What,
Yeah. Good, you know, I had some interesting conversations this last week just with, you know, Halloween. It always brings up, you know, interesting because it seems like, I mean, that holiday, it's just grown and grown and grown. And it's, you know, I mean, you were talking about second biggest spending monetary holiday of the year. Halloween, and it's what I noticed this year is talked about it a little bit last night, was that some of these hardware stores and these lumber yards, places that you walk into that you don't expect to see anything as far as Halloween stuff is concerned, they're giving them full floor space to Halloween items, and it's a big money maker, but people think about it in the ways of worship. When you celebrate Halloween and you dress up and you put these things, these images around you, it's a form of worship, is what it is. And it's even down here. I noticed in the paper that several of the churches were having Halloween parties for children. And I had a conversation with a man and was talking to him, and we was talking about it, and asked, of course the question comes up all the time. It's like, what are your children going to be for Halloween, or what are you going to dress up as? And they look at you kind of strange when you say they're not. He asked me, well, why not? I said, well, I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian too. And it's always one of those interesting conversations. But he's like, well, what scripture do you use to? And I didn't have one that I could give him right off the bat, but did some studying and read, and actually it's like, as you look into it, there's a lot of them. And I think one of my favorite ones is 1 Corinthians 10:21. It says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and of the table of demons. And I think that pretty much sums it up. And, there's a lot more scriptures we can look at, but that one, I think, gives you basically a cut and dry explanation of why we don't take part in it. And, it's sometimes it kind of boggles your mind of how much money, you're talking about the second biggest holiday of the year. Is basically a witchcraft sorcerer's holiday.
Explains the state of the country, don't it?
It really does. I remember and how things have changed. When I was a child, I remember hearing about the stories. Lived in a small town, and they would, I remember my parents talking to me about it. It's like, telling me how many children were poisoned on that night, how many children had, they were putting glass and needles and all kinds of stuff in candy, and people would give it out to children, and, all the problems that they were having. I remember, this is 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, when they were setting up the metal detectors, and the police were setting up stations, and they were scanning, running the candy and stuff through scanners to try to make sure that it didn't have, foreign objects in it. And, now they'll tell you today that there has been nothing that has ever happened like that. And I think it probably goes on more today than it did back then, but they'll tell you, oh, there's never been a case of a child dying from something like that. Well, I don't know if they've died or not, but I know a lot of them have been sick. It happened every year, 25 years ago, and you're trying to tell me that it's gotten better since then? That was one of the reasons that a lot of people that cared for their children back then wouldn't let them have anything to do with the holiday.
Yeah, they come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and once upon a time in this nation, you could let your children go out in the afternoon or early evening, two or three or four together, and not have to worry about, them getting kidnapped or worse. And it boggles my mind now that, 8:45 at night, it's good and dark at night, and ding dong, trick or treat, and here's four or five little children at the door. Even now, I mean, just that in itself, just, you know, boggles the mind that there are parents that just think that's okay.
Well, many of it's not naivety, you know, and I remember when Pastor brought out the, you know, that naivety, you know, we don't think of that as a sin, but it is a sin, you know, it's because in this day and age, especially, people have to almost willingly not be aware of what's going on. I mean, because how can you not be aware? It's everywhere.
It's
talked about everywhere, and you know, maybe not in a godly light, but it's still talked about. You know, horrible things are happening all the time. So, I mean, even though the parents might be standing out on the street while their kids go up to the door, you don't know what's behind that door. You know what I mean? And like I said, in this day and age, it's you're almost testing God. You know, when you do things against what you already know is taking a chance.
Here's the mentality of the people, though. Just yesterday, Abomination gave a speech in Rhode Island, and this is a quote: "Moms and dads deserve a great place to drop their kids off every day that doesn't cost them an arm and a leg." Stressing the need for public preschools, this sentiment is online. I guess he has an initiative going, Preschool for All initiative. But that's the mentality of the parents these days, is they just want to be able to drop their kids off and go to work.
Well,
and what he's doing there is he's destroying God's plan for stay-at-home mothers to take care of the children and take care of the home.
Yeah, and the younger they take their kids to, like, a preschool, the younger they can start indoctrinating them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. But the people love it so.
Yeah, and part of it is that the economy is such that both parents in the households that have two parents, they both have to work.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Dad always talked about that. They created the yoke around the people's neck to where both parents had to work. But they don't. It's all a matter of choice.
Absolutely it is.
Priorities.
Yep. It is. It is a choice. Just like whether you're going to, as Kyle said, if you choose whether you're going to see all the things that are happening out there, or you can turn a blind eye to it and bury yourself in work or whatever it is and ignore what's going on out there.
With every choice, there comes consequences.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, guys,
I guess there was another. Sure. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, John.
There was another example of the military standing up against God again. A colonel in a division wrote an article about God, and through all things, or through God, all things are possible. And before you could say God bless America, they struck his ad and sent out an email to the entire base saying that this particular colonel ad was struck because of he broke protocol, separation of a church and state. So our military is becoming godless by the day.
And I think that was the Freedom From Religion Foundation was behind that whole deal there too.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, the title is Does the Military Have a Problem with Jesus? And
the answer there is
yes.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a question. Again, anybody with eyes to see, you can see from the bottom up and from the top down that, you know, the military, now the Air Force Academy, which is part of the military, they don't have a problem with adding places where Satan worshipers can worship Satan up at the Air Force Academy, or, you know, any of the other religions, they're growing by leaps and bounds in the military. But it's Christianity that's getting driven out.
Yeah, this is one of the quotes that totally offended him. So no matter how stressful your life can be with juggling family issues, relationships, career, advancement, work, school, or any burden that life throws your way, cast it upon the Lord and he will sustain you, the colonel wrote. Can't have that in the
No. And he'll be out, he'll be headed for early retirement before you know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, that you know, talking about these judges, you know, overturning the will of the people. I had one saved over here that was, you know, talking about what happened over in North Carolina. You know, the people in North Carolina, just like a lot of these states, up in arms because, you know, they take it to the polls, they vote on it. You know, they had a 61%. Voted saying, you know, we won, and it basically is what they were doing is they were adding, a law, or they were adding to their state constitution, basically an amendment that banned same-sex marriage in the state of North Carolina. So they went, they vote, they, you know, get it passed, think it's a done deal, and then, you know, lo and behold, out of nowhere, one of these, you know, appeals court judges turns it over, you know, just at the flip of the hat. You know, and the people over there, they're saying, you know, and we've seen it time and time again. California, we've seen it on a number of things. You know, but, you know, you think about the number, you know, the amount of money that people, there was millions and millions of dollars dumped into these campaigns to fight these homos on these amendments. You know, they people campaigned. There was churches out there that were putting money into it. They were, you know, educating people. They won the vote. It was a battle for them. They won it. You know, and then, you know, here one of these lousy judges just overturns it at the drop of a hat. And, you know, the people are saying, "What good? You know, isn't this supposed to be a majority rules? We voted on it. We took it to the polls. You know." And, you know, it's interesting because people are really finding out that, you know what, maybe my vote don't count. I mean, that's what we're seeing from all over the place. It's like, what good is it to vote, you know, everybody, and you know, there's all these people out there that, oh, you know, you gotta vote, you gotta vote, you gotta vote. That's the only thing that's gonna make a difference. You know, well, boy, they're sure getting proved wrong.
Yeah, government of the people for the people, right?
Yeah.
Well, plus if you look at it now, they changed the vote into what, 2 weeks long or a month long or whatever. How convenient, just to give them more time to cheat, you know. Not that the vote means anything, but
yeah.
And that's another thing people are starting to see.
You know, it's like an opinion anymore. It's like, oh, okay, well, that's what you want. All right, we know what you want. I think we'll do this. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, they're basically is what they're doing is they're playing God. You know, they've elevated themselves. I think that's where we're at as a nation because, you know, we understand, you know, that there's one. Only one lawgiver, but you know, they want to. I think that's just part of them trying to raise themselves above God. It's like that whole Tower of Babel situation over and over again. It's, you know, they want to be as gods, you know. And God says one thing, well, we'll say another thing. You know, where does that put them? You know, they're butting heads from head to head to God. You know, that sure isn't a place that I'd want to be. But, you know, I think they've got a, boy, I sure wouldn't want to be in their shoes. I guess that would just be a good,
Well, they've figured out that although there's a large percentage of people who have given in to the heathen lifestyle, believe the lie of Satan, that there's still a majority, ever, you know, be it ever so small, that still fears God and still understands at least the basics about God's laws, and they know that marriage is supposed to be between one man and one woman. And now they've figured out that all they really have to do is to have some stinking federal judge overturn the will of the people.
Yep. Yeah.
But there doesn't appear to be any outcry against it.
No, there really doesn't.
That's what's been on my heart lately, as far as, I don't know, seeking God's direction of what it is we're to do. But then again, if it's all his purpose and his timing, you know, you just have to pray for the Lord's will to be done and protection for those that are under the blood.
Yeah, the days of Mount Carmel are coming back. You know, you they have to. You look at the, even if it's just in your own family, you know, to the remnant and to the people out there. The term has been used quite a bit lately about the you know, lines are being drawn and choices. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of bad choices have been made in the past. But, you know, these judges you mentioned early on, John, they made a choice. And, you know, we know many more out there are making a choice about Halloween. Like Jason said, you know, what are your children going to dress up as? Well, we don't, you know. And it is going to be like the times of Elijah. You know, if God is God, serve him. And like was said, the majority of the people, I think they think in their mind they want to serve God. Many of them don't know how. They've been lied to. Their very own Christianity has been supplanted by Judeo-Christianity. And the people don't know God. They've fallen away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many generations has it been that Hosea 4:6 has been true? You forget my law, forget your children. You know, and we think of that as, because we're all parents. And, you know, and I think the first thought that comes to mind is well, we as parents want to remember God so he remembers our children. You know, but what if we're the fourth or fifth generation of children that he's forgot?
Yeah, which brings to mind, you know, you have the majority that still votes against homosexual marriages, but how many of those majority have said in their lifetime, or their parents in their lifetime, that, well, what people do in their own houses is their own business? Because we heard that forever, you know. So they, you know, you reap what you sow. You know, I mean, yeah, you can still say, I think a marriage should be with a man and a woman, but for years you've been saying, what they do behind closed doors is their own business. You know, they're lost.
Lukewarm position.
They are completely lost,
right.
You know. And you might hear the guy up the road who says, who takes the Lord's name in vain constantly. But yet, you know, he has some of God's laws on his heart, and he knows a lot of right from wrong. But they're so lost that, you know, I mean, yeah, they're not nearly going to suffer what these judges that we're talking about is going to suffer. You know, they're not going to be, let's say, they're not going to be beaten with as many stripes. But there's repercussions for how you stick your head in your sand for so many years. And then when push comes to shove, you find out, man, I should have been coming against this a long time ago. You know,
yep.
I mean, not wait until they're forcing it down my throat, you know, because they wouldn't have got to that point if the country and, you know, our forefathers and everything would have said when these sitcoms and these TV shows come out with homosexuals in it, we're not watching that smut, you know what I mean? Or whatever the line would have been. You know, it should have been drawn a long time ago before it got to this point. But, you know, but then again, you do get back to, it's going to happen, you know. We're still supposed to fight against it, but this is all prophecy being fulfilled, and we should. That's where we need to hang our hat, basically, and saying, God's still in control. It might not look like he's in control because he's letting us run rampant here, you know, but he's still in control. It's all going to come down exactly how he planned it come down from the beginning of the foundations of the world, you know.
Yeah. He is patient, the word says, that God is patient, you know, seeking for his people to repent, you know. But without repentance, it's a bad road to hoe, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It truly is. It truly is. Well, let's open up the phone lines. About halfway through the program here, this first Saturday morning of November 2014. And the phone lines, if you're listening live, is 307-745-5913. That's the call-in number here at the Radio Ranch for these live broadcasts. So if you have a comment or a thought you want to join us this morning, you can call in and do that. You know, here in 1 Kings 18, where Elijah puts that out to the people, you know, he says, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. And, you know, he still went on preaching the gospel,
absolutely,
so to speak. Even though the people, they hesitated between two opinions. They had been hesitating between two opinions. And once again, those two opinions have been put in the minds of the remnant today. And I think that one of the spells that are upon the people is that term. We've brought it up before, but that term of Judeo-Christianity, I think that is a powerful spell upon the people. That's the two opinions. We have a Judeo-Christian ethic. They don't think about that. The Judaism denies Christ. Christianity is supposed to be based on Christ. So it's this, I think you said it, John, this lukewarmness that anything goes.
Church of Laodicea.
Yeah.
It's evident everywhere you look these days. Seems that churches are whoring themselves more and more. There's some that are waking up, some that are starting to see that they've had the wrong position, but for the most part, they just go along with the acceptance and tolerance because it affects what comes into the offering plate.
Yeah.
And like Dad said, the preacher, even if he wants to preach the truth, he can't. It's the elders and the elderettes that run these churches.
Well,
he could. He just might end up on the street doing it instead of...
Yeah, he just wouldn't be able to do it for long. But, you know, sin is still sin. And, you know, while it's still day, sin can still be repented of. And, you know, that's one of the horrible lies that the world puts out, especially about the homosexual issue. And you know, you may ask, well, why do you keep bringing that up? Well, because that's the one that the enemy brings up.
That's the issue of the
day.
That's
the issue of the day. That's the one the enemy brings up and that they use to attack the children and to steal the children that are out there because they have to recruit. That's the only way that they can get new people. And that's the sin that is put in your face right now. It really is. You know, most other sins, when people sin, they feel shame for it and they hide it. You know, when somebody's out there murdering, they're usually not around telling you that. When they're out there coveting, they're not coming in saying that they're coveting. When they're lying or committing adultery, you know, they're not marching in the Macy's Adultery Day Parade on the adultery float. But this sin, it's an in-your-face sin. And the lie that the world puts out, oh, it's okay. You can just be that way and everything's fine. When the truth of it is, why do you hesitate between two opinions? It's a sin. But the good news is it can be repented of.
Absolutely. That's why, you know, they get you in these debates whether you're born that way or not born that way. What does that have to do with
you
anything?
Are born that way.
You're born in sin. Absolutely.
We're all born in sin.
We all have our own things we have to overcome. And if,
right.
And if you got tendencies to be effeminate or homosexual, then you have to
overcome it.
You know,
absolutely.
Not practice it.
Yeah. You know? Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, man. This is Tom in Missouri.
Good morning, Tom.
Yeah, I was just want to share something with you, a thought that occurred. My niece's husband loaned me a DVD set. It's called Weaponology, A History of Firepower. It's about military stuff. And the thought hit me before the show this morning. I was eating breakfast, and I walked by and saw that, and I'm like, man, that's Pastor Peters right there. Because he was given the vision through the Holy Spirit to see all the different weapons that we hadn't been seeing. And we didn't even realize there was an arsenal there for us to use. And it's just...
the spiritual weapons, yeah.
I used Amen. To be a fighter and stuff, and that just almost gets me that same kind of, on a spiritual level, that same kind of juices flowing. It's like, man, look at all these weapons.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
We just got to learn how to master them. All of the stuff going on in the world, it just made me stop and think, don't focus on that. Focus on all these weapons that the Lord has given us.
Yep. I agree. We got to learn how to master them.
Amen. You may have a good morning.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
And you know, one of them is, you see right here in 1 Kings 18, and we'll get right back to the phone lines. I will call on the name of the Lord. And that's one of the weapons.
Yep.
But to call on him, you got to know him. And he has to know you.
Which is belief.
Yeah.
Then you have to act, which is faith. You know what I mean? And you have to humble yourself as a little child for that faith to work. Because otherwise you're going to have doubt. And you're going to have these thoughts that the intellects have, you know, because they're too smart to believe the simple truth that anointing oil or something like that would work, you know.
Yeah, or prayer.
Yeah.
We'll stay with the phone lines. Oh, one more line. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Are you talking to me?
I am talking to you.
Okay, I'm calling from Baltimore.
Okay.
And the jamming of your program on shortwave is so bad that it's barely audible. But I try to listen to as much of it as I can, but they just jam your program here terribly.
Well, thanks for letting us know. Appreciate it. We'll just have to come against that in spiritual warfare as well.
All right. Have a blessed morning.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye.
307-745-5913. And the gospel message is, well, the enemies of God have sure done their best to jam it in the past, haven't they?
Yeah.
To prevent the people from hearing it. Whether it's, well, all types of different ways. But the message still goes out, and those that are supposed to hear it, hear it.
Well, if God's doing the calling, which he is, and God's doing the choosing, which he is, well, yeah, those that are supposed to hear it are going to hear it, you know.
Yeah.
And those that are supposed to see it are going to see it. And the good thing about this that never gets preached off the pulpits out there is those that God doesn't want to hear it, they're not going to hear it. You know, I mean, we have this opinion that if this guy would just hear, if God doesn't want somebody to hear it, they're not going to hear it. And he's, you know, when he sent the Lord here, when he sent his son down here on earth, God in the flesh, he spoke in parables so that they wouldn't hear and they wouldn't see and they wouldn't understand. I mean, that's what a series like we've been playing, the They and Us series, is so important. That part of the gospel, the church world don't even know that part of the gospel. And it takes away from the sovereignty of God, because that's how sovereign he is he picks and chooses who he wants to be in his kingdom. The rest, you know, I mean.
So, Kyle, do you mean that there's that there's only a few that'll be saved?
Yeah, that's the question, ain't it? Lord?
You know, Matthew 13, where Jesus is teaching in parables. Since phone's not ringing, let me read this real quick. Starting in verse 10, and it's an explanation of the parables. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them," meaning the masses, "in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says," and starting in the second part of verse 14, "You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." And see, it says there they have closed their eyes. You know, that majority of the people, as was said earlier, they may you know, think, well, the marriage should be between a man and a woman. But when the sin of homosexuality is put right in their face, they close their eyes to it. And it's wrong for them to do that. And because they may be the only watchman on the wall in that instance to come back and say, "No, listen. Whoever it is that's putting it in front of their face, this is a sin, and it's wrong, and it's going to damn you to hell if you continue to practice it."
Which would be a great example for their children.
Yeah.
You know, and grandchildren or whoever. But that hasn't been passed on.
No.
You know. And so consequently, the children growing up, they haven't seen their dads, you know, storm out of a restaurant or not, you know, go up to a coffee shop and say, "I ain't getting nothing from you, you homo," you know, or effeminate. So they haven't seen people practicing their Christianity.
Right.
You know, so they don't even know it's right. Or
yeah.
In fact, they've been taught the opposite, that it's wrong to stand up.
And practicing your Christianity may be as simple as what Jason said earlier, Jason, when you said you're talking to the guy and you tell him, "Well, we don't do Halloween. We don't dress our children up as goblins and devils and send them out. We just don't."
Yeah, I got this, looking at Bibles like the Dakes Bible and some other, there's a lot of good resources out there, but I found this Spiritual Warfare Bible, and it's a New King James, which I'm not totally thrilled about, but there's a section in here that's called Combat Scriptures to Defeat Our Enemy, and it just lists a ton of scriptures. It goes along with what Tom was saying about our spiritual weapons that have been exposed, that the Holy Spirit's exposed to us over the years. And it's like in Exodus 15, 6 through 7, it says, "God, you said that you would be an enemy to our enemies and an adversary to our adversary." And then Numbers 19, 9, "God, you said that if we go into war in our own land against the enemy that oppresses us, we should blow the trumpet, and we would be remembered before the Lord and saved from our enemies. Remember us as we battle our own enemies in our own land." And then Deuteronomy 28:57, "We bind the spirit whereby the enemy is trying to distress us in our own gates." I mean, there's just a whole bunch of scriptures in here that are really powerful.
Amen. You know, we carry a book called The War Psalms of the Prince of Peace. And, you know, we've sent a lot of them out. if you don't have that book, I don't have one in here with me, wasn't planning on bringing it up. But
it's a pretty good-sized book. It's not like there's just two verses.
Right. I mean, it's not a Bible-sized book, but it's a pocket-sized book. Yeah. But it is. It's an excellent. And it starts out with this, you know, I won't say who, but, you know, with the reasoning that how can we read in the Bible to love our neighbor and still pray as this type of Christ prayed? And it explains it out with Bible verses that we are to do that very thing. And these war psalms, because we are at war, well, you know, we have a Prince of Peace. Well, there's also a Prince of War out there. And, you know, whether you're in the war or whether you recognize that there's a war or not, we're in it, whether you like it or not. We are in it. And there are casualties of war. But there are war psalms that we as Christians should be praying. You know, David was a type of Christ. And the things that he did, you know, sure, he sinned, but he repented. And, you know, when he turned away from his flesh and he called, as we read in about Elijah, and called on the name of his Lord, our Lord, great things happened in his life and in the nation. And he had some of those prayers, like you said, like you just read, John. You know, Lord, be an enemy to our enemy. Wipe out these people from before us. Or strengthen my hand and let me wipe them out, because they mock you. Whether it was with a sword or a stone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's basically three choices in the world today, and that's repent, humble yourself, and come to repentance. Get off the land, the promised land, the true JERUSALEM, or get under it. That's the three choices.
Yeah, and you're going to choose one of those. Without a doubt, you know, and the world's choosing it right now. You know, which one of those are they choosing? Which, you know, obviously the majority of them are choosing the worst of the three. But
yeah, and not to repent.
Yeah,
yeah, and there's a day coming. I don't recall exactly where it is, but the scripture says that in that day that the foreigners will return to their own land. And I think when they see, when the wrath of God starts getting poured out on this land, that a lot of the foreigners are going to do that, because they're going to see a lot of them get buried under the land.
They'll be running over to the border the other way.
They're going to see a lot of them get buried under the land, and you know, some of them can't repent, and I think a lot of them are going to be doing just that, heading back, just as the word says. Well, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in. And had Gary step in the broadcast booth with us this morning. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Wait, wrong one, sorry. Try it again.
Well, good morning to the Wranglers.
There we go. Glad to have you join us here this morning.
Good morning, Jason, John, Kyle.
Good morning.
Richard.
Good morning.
Well, we've got about 10 minutes left here. Still got coffee. Brought coffee in a thermos this morning to have plenty. But, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And from the Radio Ranch, and it was something that Pastor Peter's put together. And I tell you, I like it a little better. We start this at 7 o'clock in the morning than when it used to be at 5 and 7 on the East Coast. I like 7 o'clock here a whole lot better. I don't know about you guys. Well, let's go to the phone lines while we still have a minute. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning. This is James in Tennessee.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to give a shortwave report. Our internet's down, so I turned on a shortwave, and in East Tennessee, Northeast Tennessee, it's coming out and clear. Also, I had
Thank you very much.
Part of the problem with the churches, I hate to say the Judeo-churches, but the people are so misled. They go to church on Sunday. They listen to a pastor preach, give a few verses, and pray, and then they go home and they're good for the whole week. They don't spend the time themselves reading the Bible and studying the Word. I've got family that, you know, are avid churchgoers. They go Sunday, Wednesday, you know, but they just don't spend the time in the Bible. You know, I try to talk to them about how important it is to read the Scriptures. They don't spend any time on their knees. They let the preacher pray for them on Sunday, and all the rest of the week, they're not on their knees. They don't have the desire to learn. They don't have the time to get to know the Lord. So they're content where they're at. You know, I go to church. I got a good job. I'm making good money. They're good, but they're not good. Right. There's a sad day coming.
James, that's the difference. You highlight the difference between a religion and the way. And they'll call it the Christian religion, but it's those that just got religion. And that's what religion is. Going to church on Sunday, going Wednesday night, going Thursday night, that's religion. Christianity,
that's ritual.
Right, that's ritual. Christianity was called the way because it was a way of life. It's not something to do on Sunday, but it's a way of life. You know, and when Christ brought it and the disciples preached it, it turned the world upside down. You know, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And you can't just do that on Sunday.
The thing Judeo-Christian churches miss is baptism. Without that humility, without that repentance, without that obedience, without receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, you can't discern what you can with the gift. You see what I'm saying? That Holy Spirit is what unlocks the truths and locks you into God's Word.
Well, how can you walk before you're even born? You can't.
Right.
You know.
Must be born again of the water and the Spirit.
Yep.
Well, the instructions are there. All you have to do is, I guess you have to be chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. That's a shame because there's a lot of us out there that should be chosen. You know, it's like, if we get the information to them and they can start connecting the dots, but then they have to spend the time on their knees and they have to spend the time in the Word. And if they don't do either of that, then they're going to get right. passed over. And that's a shame. And, yep. You know, I wanted to mention those God Save America, again, DVDs. I appreciate you sending those to me, Richard. And I've begun to pass them out, but I've had an idea. You know, the T-shirts are great, but right now I got 2 inches of snow on the ground and I'm not going out in a T-shirt. What if we were to have maybe a sweatshirt or maybe a ball cap with God Save America on the front and 2 Chronicles 7:14 on the back strap in the back where you adjust it? I plan to go out. There's a gun show coming up here soon, and I'm going to hit the gun show with a stack of those discs. I'm going to wear the T-shirt if I can outside of a sweatshirt. But, you know, you get people to ask you a question. They came to you, and they're wanting to know, hey, that sounds good. What is that? And you can talk to them a couple of minutes, hand them a DVD, and if they go home and listen to it, great. If not, the seed's planted. So I don't have the capabilities to make sweatshirts and ball caps, but I guess I could dig around and try. But I thought if you guys had the ability, maybe it would be a good idea. I don't know, just what I thought. Anyway, I'll get off the radio. I know you're getting close to the end. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, James.
Good point. Yeah, thank you.
Well, one more caller. I think we've got time. Hey, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. I was thinking that a lot of these people who are voting for these initiatives for the sanctity of marriage and things like that have in the past voted for the judges and voted for the politicians who appointed the judges who are overturning these things. And you mentioned the lines are being drawn. And that's a good thing. And you know, we serve a God who works all things for good, and what he's done for us is use the enemy to draw those lines. And so that these people who thought they were, their vote counted and they were just going down and encouraging this system, basically, are starting to wake up, and it's thanks to the enemy. And people, our people who would be in the military and support the military are starting to wake up when they're looking at, you know, it's not our military, it's theirs. So I think that's definitely cause for praise and thanks.
Yeah.
It is.
It is. A change is happening. Hey, thanks for your call this morning. Thanks for the comments.
Thank you.
All right.
You know, I think of what Bill said there about your vote count. Your vote does count. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's vote counted when they said, "I ain't going to bow down to you,
O King."
Yeah. That your vote counts. It counts where it needs to count the most. And I'm not talking about at the polls. I mean, if you go to the polls and you vote Jesus Christ for King, I guarantee you that's going to count. You know, I don't know how much it's going to count in the long run, but it's going to count. When you're not going to bow down to Baal or bow down to Nebuchadnezzar or whoever your king, Obama, or, that vote counts. You know, whether your land is going along with it or not, that's going to all play out. You know, like Bill said, it's all prophecy being fulfilled. But believe me, your vote counts. If you close your eyes, like we've been talking, if you stick your head in the sand and you close your window, you hear screaming outside your door and you don't even go out to see what the screams are about, you know, that vote's going to count too.
Yes.
And it's going to be a negative account, you know, in the book, you know, when it's opened, you know. So
here's a good scripture to go out on, Luke 10:19. Jesus, I thank you that I have power over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
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 Amen. And you have a choice, Remnant. Remember that. You got a choice to come to church tomorrow. We make it easy for you. Join us for church, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast at the website, scriptures4america.org. And you'll hear some Bible reading. You'll have the opportunity to partake of communion, to join the remnant in singing praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and being exhorted and edified and taught from the Word of God by our pastor. So we encourage you to do that. That's at 10 a.m. Mountain Sunday morning at scriptures4america.org. Well, John, Jason, thanks for joining us. Kyle and Gary, appreciate y'all coming in this morning, and we thank you, Remnant. Remember, our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rollin', 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 stay high.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.